That was Rock and Roll Woman from Carl Latham's Living Standards 2, featuring Mark Egan, Mitch Stein, Ryder Squitter. I'd like to feature the SFU Red Leaps hockey at this time. The independent Red Leaps hosted the UBC Thunderbirds on September 19th, the back end of the recent home-and-home set at Bill Copeland Sports Center in Burnaby. The visitors UBC opened the scoring first as Alex Seraglio eluded the SFU starter Steve Bukowski 3:36 into the game as the Thunderbirds outshot the Red Leafs 11-8 in the first. There was a goalie change for both sides with 9:02 left in the second as Bukowski gave way to Gabe Gretton for SFU, while UBC replaced Nicholas Jones with Cole Schwebus. I'm not sure if it was Nicholas Jones, but based on the pictures I've taken, it looked like him, as Jones wears 31. The Thunderbirds outshot the Red Leafs 16-7 in the second for a total of 27-15 after 40 minutes. Zach Maxwell tied a game with 8:53 left in regulation as he converted a pass from Max Poffin on a power play. SFU went up 2-1 just 22 seconds later on Tyler Chant's first ever goal in red and white. But UBC refused to quit as Scott Atkinson tied the game at 2 with 4:48 left in regulation. Overtime solved nothing to force a shootout for the second week in a row. While the Red Leafs and Thunderbirds traded goals in round 1, UBC's Nathan Sullivan eluded SFU's Gabe Gretton to end the game in round 5 as the Thunderbirds traded the independent Red Leafs 3-2 in shootout.
Hello, it's Steve Chong. I'm in dressing room 4 at Bill Copeland Sports Center in Burnaby, BC on September 19th, 2025. And I'm interviewing
Mark Leonard,
the head coach for the SFU Independent Red Leafs, who fell to the UBC Thunderbirds 3-2 in shootout, the back end of home and home set. First of all, what was different tonight compared to last Friday?
Yeah, I just think our guys were a little sluggish first period, second period, and you know, that's always tough, but you know, I thought we made a game of it in the third and obviously battled hard and got the lead, but you know, I think we got to figure out a way to win these games in regulation.
Explain the goaltending change with 9:02 left in period 2.
Yeah, we're just splitting the goalies. Last week we split them half and half, this week, next week again. We just got to see who's who, right, and give everybody a chance.
How did you like your goalies' performance tonight? Bukowski followed by Gretton, from what I understand.
Yeah, I thought they played well. I thought they made big saves, timely saves. We were, like I said, under pressure for the first two periods, but I thought they were good.
Tell me about the third period where the Red Leafs scored 2 goals in less than a minute.
Yeah, good tenacity and good forecheck. I thought we had a lot of jump in the third, but you know, we gotta be able to play that way all the time. I thought last week we did, and this week it took us a little bit to get going.
So what broke down in the tying goal?
I just think we should have had the puck out, went off the glass, got a bad bounce, and they put the puck on the net, and away they go.
So for what could have been done differently in overtime?
Not much. Overtime's always tough, 3-on-3. So you get your skill guys out there and see what can happen, and then obviously the shootout, it's you know, to roll the dice.
Now I'd like to go beyond the independent Red Leafs. Explain the coaching changes for the BCIHL team in late July.
Well, we just, you know, that's Chris Munshaw, and he oversees that. And, you know, we have a lot of work to do, so that's, you know, it's just sometimes you got to make some changes, and we'll see how that turns out.
The BCIHL Red Leafs played their first exhibition game against the Trinity Western University, an 8-0 loss for the Red Leafs. But the Spartans are your next opponent. How will you prepare for Trinity Western next Thursday at Burnaby Winter Club?
Well, they're a quality team, youth sport team, so we just got to make sure we have a good week of practice and be ready. ready to go.
Thank you for the interview tonight, and good luck next Thursday.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Hi, once again, it's Steve Chong. I'm still in dressing room 4 at Burnaby's Bill Cole. Hi, once again, it's Steve Chong. I'm still in dressing room 4 at Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center on September 19th, 2025, and I'm interviewing
Gabe Graff,
the second goalie for the SFU Independent Red Leafs, who fell to the UBC Thunderbirds 3-2 in shootout, the back end of home-and-home set. First of all, when did you realize that you're going to come in?
Last week we kind of discussed, we have a couple of home games here before we head down to Providence and start playing some games down south. So coach just decided we're going to kind of split the first couple and get everyone in, get everyone a touch. So I knew for a couple weeks now.
Okay. Explain why you got in just after the middle of second period. At the same time, UBC changed their backstops.
Yeah. Like I had said before, coach just trying to get everyone in, get everyone a feel for the game and stuff, and get their touches. So obviously UBC is probably doing the same thing, preseason games, trying to get guys ready to go for the year. So just halfway through the game, make sure everyone gets their touches and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Tell me your play for the rest of period 2.
Rest of period 2, yeah. Just coming in cold, obviously you want to have a little bit of energy. Try and get yourself into the game as quick as possible. The boys did a really good job there, blocking shots. He's not really giving up any grade A's, and let me settle in, feel a couple, and get into the game.
After the Red Leafs scored 2 quick goals to go up 2-1, UBC struck back late in the third period. Tell me what happened in the sequence that led to the tie goal.
Sorry for some technical difficulties. Hello, are you still there? Sorry for some technical difficulties.
Hi, once again. Shoot the last.
Our shots was get into the game.
After the Red Leafs scored 2 quick goals to go up 2-1, UBC struck back late in the third period. Tell me what happened in the sequence that led to the tie goal.
Just point shot. Wasn't a very hard shot, so it's a tough one. You're trying to gauge where it's going and stuff, and it hits a stick, a little flutter up over my head. Just tough bounce, I'd say, probably.
Mm-hmm. From your vantage point, how was playing overtime 3-on-3 with SFU having a power play?
Obviously 3-on-3, lots of fun. It's always nice that you can get an extra guy out there and you're on the power play to try and make something happen. But yeah, just from my perspective, trying to make a save when the boys need it. Yeah, 3-on-3, lots of fun.
The game was not decided in overtime, so it went to shootout. So you faced 6 shooters, 2 scored. Tell me what happened in round 6.
Yeah, a guy came in on my right side and just kind of put one through my arm. Wasn't really expecting a shot chest or a shootout, but happens. You want to try and come up with a save for the boys, keep it going. Obviously didn't happen, but we just got to get ready for the next one now. We got a big one on Thursday against Trinity.
Personally, I think the home team should shoot the last every time.
Yeah.
best, in my opinion. I like to delve into
the choice.
Pardon?
We had the choice.
Yeah. Personally, like, as a baseball fan, as the home team in a game, always pass last, I think that should go for a shootout as well. But
should. Yeah.
I like to delve into your hockey journey. When did you start the game?
Start playing hockey?
Yeah.
Either 4 or 5 years old, right ever since you're allowed to start playing organized hockey, I was in it.
When was the first time you made a rep or a travel team?
I think it would have been either grade 3 or 4, the U11 AA it was called, up in Fort McMurray.
Tell me about the last team you played before coming to the SFU Red Leafs.
I played for the Black Falls Bulldogs, formerly in the AJHL, now in the BCHL. I joined them at the trade deadline my 20-year-old season. They were awesome to me. They were very welcoming, first-class facilities. They treat you very well. It was obviously a little weird. We were changing leagues right when I showed up. We were moving from the AJ to the BCHL, but great opportunity to be there for a couple of months and develop myself, and then it led me to here at Simon Fraser.
Where is Black Falls?
It is in between Calgary and Edmonton in Alberta, right by Red Deer, Alberta.
Oh, that must have been quite a travel for you, since you're from Fort McMurray, that's several hours north of Edmonton, to go to just next to Red Deer.
Yeah, it was a good 7-hour trip down the highway in the morning after I found out.
What made you decide to go to the SFU Independent Red Leafs, who is not affiliated with any league?
For me, just obviously want to play hockey at the highest level possible. Have a little bit of Division I interest my 20-year-old year, but nothing really at the end, no offers. So just SFU's, we got Division I games. It's a top-notch schedule for a team who may not be classified as Division I. We still get to play those games and play at that level. So for me, that's why I chose SFU.
Finally, what would you like to accomplish with the SFU Independent Red Leafs?
As a group, just want to try and build a program and take it as far as we can. You know, obviously the donors and the people with the money are the ones who really support us, but as a group, if we can start many games here and just building as a team, it's going to get a lot of eyeballs on us and get a lot of people looking our way. So I think that's what we got to do.
Thank you for the interview tonight, and good luck next week, the first against Trinity next Thursday, then I believe it's the
BIG.
From the BCIHL. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. The round, first of all, the shootout went to round 5, not round 6. Sorry for some technical difficulties. For some reason, it just... Oh, now I cannot open a new window. Oh, shoot. So there is a... There is an issue here. Anyhow, now I'd like to provide the latest on the Northwest League at this time. It is a high A league, three levels below Major League Baseball, with their awards announced on September 17th in the Minor League Baseball website. For some reason, my interview with Gabe Breton just could not download to the CJSF download folder, which forced me to play right on email, and after which I tried to toggle my full window, but now that's disappeared, so I have to do it in a reduced window. Now back to minor league baseball. Northwest League. Now, Lazaro Montes of the Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, won the MVP award, hitting 18 home runs in just 67 games, after which he was promoted to Double A in Sabjan, June 24th. Daniel Egan of Hillsboro Hops, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, won the Pitcher of the Year after posting a 2.49 ERA in 19 starts, 194 opponents batting average, and 132 punchouts in 97 2⅓ innings. Colt Emerson of the Everett Aqua Sox earned a top MLB prospect as he was top 5 in batting average with .281, slugging with .453, and 5 triples in 90 games, after he was promoted to AA on August 4th and reached AAA on September 16th, just below Major League Baseball. As for the 2025 Northwest Lake All-Star team, 4 Vancouver Canadians made a cut: third baseman Carter Coffey, starting pitcher Gage Stanifer, Fernando Perez, and relief pitcher Che Eager.
Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is the place to be. Featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee, Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go?
I would like to provide the latest on the Surrey Police transition at this time. On September 15th, the SPS Chief Norm Lipinski and the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke had a joint press conference regarding recent spikes in extortions against South Asian businesses in the Surrey City Hall, where the Mayor Locke announced a $250,000 award for leading to charges and convictions from extortion threats, 5 days after the Surrey City Council approved the award. According to the Surrey City and Surrey Police Service press releases, according to multiple media outlets, the SPS is investigating 44 extortion cases, 27 of which involve shootings, and has established its extortion hotline, 236-435-6149, between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. 7 days a week, which went live at noon on September 15th. According to Tom Soterak of Surrey Now Leader, who also reported that the $250,000 award may be divvied up. Furthermore, the SPS Chief Norm Lipinski said people need to identify themselves, according to Charles Brockman, Sonia Aslam of City News Vancouver, which was echoed by Staff Sergeant Lindsay Hopton the next day in his interview with Simi Serra on CKNW on September 16th, when the SPS Inclusion on Awareness Community First Units attended the PIC Society's car rally as the march throughout Surrey promotes education, seeking help, and crime-free life. One day later, on September 17th, the SPS updated its staffing numbers with 583 sworn police officers, 111 female, 472 men, 255 visible minorities, 21 indigenous, and 484 civilian employees. Later on September 17th, the BC government announced that the BCRCMP and municipal police agencies have launched a specialized task force to strengthen extortion investigations, which will consist of 40 members from the BCRCMP, Abbotsford Police, Delta Police Departments, Canadian Border Services Agency, Combined Forces Special Enforcement Unit, Metro Vancouver Transit Police, and Surrey Police. The province will also provide $200,000 via the federal government's Gun and Gang Violence Action Fund, GGVAF, to aid municipal police departments against extortion cases, with another $100,000 from the GGVAF to help the BC's Crime Stoppers public awareness campaign, motivating people to report extortion threats to assist police identifying and stopping the culprits, announced by Nina Krieger, the BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, at the BCRCMP headquarters in Surrey. Krieger also spoke to Jennifer Palma of Global BC the next day, on September 18th. On September 20th, the SPS celebrated Crime Analysts Appreciation Day on its X, formerly Twitter, as crime analysts have an essential role by identifying crime patterns and translating complex info.
Hey, this is Anuki, your Faculty of Environment representative, here to let you know what the SFSS is. The SFSS is a student union that is student-led, and it represents and advocates for the interests of the 26,000 undergraduate students at SFU. We are a non-for-profit support network and a voice at SFU, which provides services like the UPass and health and dental. We also provide support to make your student life better. You can reach the SFSS on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or by emailing us. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to episode 37 of the Steve Chong Show in 2025, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 11, it's Julian Taylor's Jukebox. I cannot even open my email. I cannot even open my script, which is in draft on my Hotmail account right now. The latest episode in CJSF's technical difficulties. Now to the last tune, before 11. It is Alex G's Headlights, Louisiana.